And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Andy Webb, and hey, I thank you for joining me today. You know, when I do these shows, my producer, Rick, he really likes it if I don't talk about current events. You know why that is? Then he can call this evergreen. He can play this for you in the future when maybe I'm down and out sick and I just can't make it into the the radio booth, or maybe we're out in the RV bunker dodging the weather, wherever that may be, and we're down in a canyon somewhere. Don't get the reception. Hey, Rick, pull up one of those evergreen shows. So we don't like to talk about things like who won the Super Bowl or the Final Four in college basketball or what's going on across the world in, Iran or Iraq. And we certainly don't want to talk about the weather. So I will neither confirm nor deny that today's show hit me thanks to recent events. When I might have been out clearing snow and ice from my sidewalk, just a little bit lost in thought, and watching my son and the neighborhood kids, what were they out there doing? Well, they may have been out there rolling up a big ball of snow. And that's what I want to talk about today. May have been inspired by that big ball of snow. We're gonna examine the snowball, and specifically the cash flow snowball. How does that thing start? How do you get it started, more specifically? And how do you grow it? And once it's growing, how can you really accelerate the growth of that cash flow snowball? I think of these really as three individual stages of that very cash flow snowball. Stage one, well, as I said, it's just getting that ball rolling. That can be really, really hard sometimes. But there are ways to help you really get that thing started. And then you move into stage two. All right, you get the cash flow snowball. You got it rolling. Well, what do you do now? You add speed and you add volume. Think about that snowball rolling down the hill, right? Theoretically, it's picking up snow as it goes. It's rolling faster and faster, getting bigger and bigger. That's stage two. And then that morphs into stage three, where you got speed going, but now you're moving into warp speed. And maybe you coast a little bit. Those are two different things. And we love one. We love the other. We have to be careful with that one as well. We'll get to that when we talk about stage three. Well, maybe you're asking yourself, what is this cash flow snowball? What is a cash flow snowball? Where's the cash coming from? Okay, good question. Well, what are we investing our money in? What are we investing our capital in? How does it make us money in return? There are lots of investments out there in the world. A lot of you are, quote, invested, right, in your 401ks or your IRAs. That's a discussion perhaps later in the show or maybe for a whole other show. But aside from that, there's gold, there are minerals, right? Bitcoin, and of course, real estate. And that's specifically what we are investing in. And not just any old real estate, not commercial, not Airbnb, right? Not storage facilities. We're specifically focusing at Lifestyles Unlimited, anyhow, at residential rental real estate. And that includes two specific modes. And I'm going to differentiate here because these will inform some parts of our cash flow snowball discussion. There are single family rental properties. That's how I got started, was investing in single family rental houses. And then there are apartments, multifamily. And I also invest now passively in apartments. Let's talk about those houses first. A lot of people start with houses. You don't have to, but you have to understand this. Houses make money five ways. And the big focus today is one of the more important of those five, and that is cash flow. So cash flow occurs when I have a house that is stabilized. I probably needed to fix it up. That's what we love, is those houses that do need work, because we go in and we fix those up. And then we rent it out. And I collect a rent every month from all of my residents. And if you screen properly, that's a big fear of people. I won't get it rented, number one, or I'll get a bad resident. If you learn what we teach and screen properly, not a problem. I collect my rents every month, just like clockwork. I pay my fixed expenses. That's the mortgage, principal and interest. That's the taxes and the insurance. And I keep the rest. That is the cash flow. And when you buy that first house, you create just a small little cash flow snowball. But you can really grow that. This is by and large, the most important. Yeah, you're thinking about the end. Yeah, begin with the end in mind, right? Good advice. You want that big, big snowball so you can retire and live off of the cash flow. But until you get that ball rolling, you don't have a snowball. So you have to have a cash flow snowball. You have to get that ball rolling. And I will tell you, even before, here we're talking stage one, getting that ball rolling, even before that cash flow starts to accrue, right, before that ball is rolling, you really should begin with proper education and training. If you're like I am, when I began over a dozen years ago as a single family rental investor, as somebody that went to Lifestyles Unlimited, I had no experience in this space. I worked in corporate America. My wife worked in corporate America. Neither of us had any experience. Nobody in our lineage, nobody in our families had done this before that we could lean on. So we needed to get educated. We needed to understand the business. And that's what we did first and foremost. So you want to start with education. Learn about those investment modes that you're interested in. I mentioned too, single family and apartments. Which do you want to follow, right? And if you're still not sure, just based on things you hear on the radio, talking to other investments, well, this is where education can help you make that decision, single family or multifamily. And here, in terms of apartments, I'm thinking specifically about investing passively in apartments. You can also invest actively as somebody that puts together a syndication or just buys apartments on your own. But I'm thinking mentally here today just as the passive investor. And continued education can help you decide, hey, which direction do I want to go? Add on top of that, experience. Now you're thinking, how do I get experience if I don't already have that snowball rolling? Well, education feeds into that. And at least at Lifestyles Unlimited, we have some wonderful events that helped me, again, as somebody that had no background in this space, to really essentially gain experience at the hands of other investors. And how that works is we have what's called a single family road trip, and we also have what's called a multifamily road trip. And what happens on these road trips? Well, as the name suggests, we get on the road and we go out, we take a trip to somebody else's property. Sometimes this is somebody that has just invested in their first single family house. They're just getting their ball rolling, right? Sometimes it's somebody that's invested in their 10th house or beyond. So you get to tap into their experience. And I'll tell you, it is something else when you walk around that gnarly, ratty single family house they've just bought. Because again, like we at Lifestyles Unlimited, they want to find the houses that are distressed because they get those at a discount. They drive that equity capture. That's a discussion for later, because again, we're thinking about cash flow, but we get to see and smell and touch and really learn what they're putting into renovating this property. So you get in, you get that experience. I wouldn't say passively exactly, but it's kind of a passive experience because you're leaning on somebody else. Single family road trips, wonderful thing. Really set the stage for my wife and I. Multifamily road trips, same idea, but it's apartments. Okay, whether you want to be a passive or an active investor in apartments, that is a great way to really build that lower level experience, let's say it. But then you do have to get into that first investment. Again, whether that's single family or investing passively in apartments, above all else, we're all skeptics at heart. I know you're listening to the radio show, you're listening to the podcast, you're thinking, well, I just don't believe it. Well, this is your chance to go in and get that proof of concept, see how you like it. And for some people, it's, well, I've decided to go down that single family track. Let's see how I like it. And some people go down that single family path. They say, I don't like this so much. I'm going to shift to apartment investing. Vice versa happens. You know, I've invested passively in apartments, but man, I really want more control. You have more control in the single family space because you are the owner of that business. So you got to get started to see how you like it. So you have to get into that first investment, proof of concept, gaining experience, and just decide, did I make a good decision in terms of that particular investment mode? And again, understand that single family and multifamily in this sense do behave differently. Single family tends to cash flow faster than multifamily. If I'm taking a single family asset that needs work and an apartment that needs work, right, they both have to be stabilized. A one-door property, a house, is going to be stabilized in terms of renovations, everything else, much more quickly than a 200-unit apartment community. Now, do we always invest in 200-unit apartment communities? No, I just got invested in one this year already. It was only 25 units. That one will stabilize much more quickly. So there's different speed with which you get to that cash flow for your cash flow snowball. And there's a different frequency. Single family, well, my cash flow comes in every month. Rent is paid, pay my expenses, keep the rest. Rent is paid, pay my expenses, keep the rest. That happens for 3 months, whereas my multifamily, They tend to pay out quarterly. Right? That's why I say 3 months. I may wait 3 months before the next distribution of cash. Now, it may be a bigger pop. So there are different frequencies there. And there are also, you have to consider this with respect to multifamily. And this comes with the education, which is why I say you have to have this. There are different types. Yes, there are different types of multifamily investments. Broadly defined, you can invest in what is called a yield play, or you can invest in what is called a value play. I'm going to talk about value play first, because the one I just got into, it's a value play. It will not cash flow for probably a year. That's okay. I'm looking for a bigger equity pop at the end, which is what a value play will tend to generate. So if you, on the other hand, are looking to build cash flow, to get that snowball rolling, then stay away from the value add project and go towards the yield play. Yield play, as the name suggests, it's just a play where you're getting into the yield. In other words, the cash flow. The focus is solely, well, is mostly on the cash flow, and it should be cash flowing from day one. Now, that does not mean cash flow to your pocket on day one. This is where I go back to apartments and houses cash flow at different rates early in the project. You know, you have to talk with the syndicator or the lead investor that's putting that project together and ask, when do you plan to start making those first distributions? It's cash flow positive day one, the business is, but when will I actually see that cash in my pocket? I'm putting my hand in my pocket right now. If this were a video, you'd see me doing that. When are they going to make those distributions? Some will say, hey, first quarter after we close. All right. Well, that's very akin to a house, actually. Some are more conservative. They're going to say, oh, we're going to wait 2 quarters. Or maybe business plan says 3 quarters. So you have to ask your questions. Ask questions to that syndicator to find out just what is it that you plan to do. Okay, but you can see there's a bit of a difference there in terms of the timing of the cash flow. I just want you to understand that because, again, we started, my wife and I, with single family because we wanted that cash flow quicker. We needed that snowball rolling, not now, but yesterday because she was in a bad job and we needed to get her retired. And we did in 3 years. That snowball, man, got it going. It picked up speed. It picked up volume. And that's really stage two, which we're going to talk about here later. But single family, by the way, because of that very reason, this is where a lot of people start. What does it take to get into that first investment? We talked about the education. We talked about going to things, gaining experience through other people by way of things like the single family road trip. From a capital perspective, you know, how much money do you need? Well, that depends on where you're investing. And that depends on any individual house. This is part of what you'll learn. And as investors at Lifestyles Unlimited, we have access to various markets, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, here in Texas, of course, where I sit, Kansas, Missouri, Tennessee, right? Lots of markets. So each of those will behave differently, but anywhere, you know, pretty low cash out of pocket, say $10,000 to $15,000 into that house to 30 or 40 plus reserves. But set goals around that, and then you'll roll into stage two. We'll get to that in a moment.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
What if you had a plan to build income outside your job? At Lifestyles Unlimited, you'll learn how people are investing in real estate to grow their income and make smarter financial choices one property at a time. Right now, join us for just $297. That's a savings of $443 off our real estate education program. Text RADIO to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. Hey, if you have any questions, you can send those over to me. Send your emails to askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc.com. And we're talking about the cash flow snowball. And I view this in three distinct stages. Before you can have a cash flow snowball, well, you've got to get that little bitty snowball built, and then you can start it rolling. And we talked in a prior, we talked before about stage one, right? Which is just getting that snowball going, getting it rolling. Well, after that first one's done, now you're collecting things like experience, not to mention the cash flow. You're going to roll into stage two. This is where we add speed and we add volume to that cash flow snowball. You've got the education under your belt now. Check, We talked about that. Proof of concept, that's a big reason to invest in that first single-family house or passively in those first apartments. By the way, if it's your first time to invest passively in apartments, should you throw $100,000 or $250,000 into that first investment? I would tell you no. Go much, much smaller. There are lots of investment opportunities that allow you to test drive this whole idea. Make sure that proof of concept is there, that it works for you. But it's done. We did it. Stage one, check. And we've got that first level, I'm calling it here, first level of cash flow coming in. Check, rock and roll. I'm loving this. Passive income coming in now every month if it's houses, every quarter if it's apartments. Why do lead investors pay every quarter instead of monthly? I know one that has paid monthly, but it's a lot of work. It's extra work for them when they're trying to run a business, so that will be quarterly. Okay, now what? Well, first of all, you're going to maintain that snowball, right? You now have rental property. If you're a passive investor in apartments, your focus is simply to be reading those reports. That's what an investor does that has invested passively in apartments. Nothing more. It is passive by nature. The lead investor does everything else. So you want to read the reports, stay tuned in with that investment, and watch how it develops. How does it develop relative to that business plan that you read when you were making your decision whether or not to invest in this particular opportunity? Is there more than one opportunity out there? Absolutely. I've got a whole bunch on my desk right now. There's always something going on that I can review to say, hey, is this the one for me? Okay, we're always looking, reviewing those business plans. And sundry supplemental question, you're going to say, hey, is that cash flow coming in as planned? If so, great. If not, why not? And it's okay to ask pertinent questions to your lead investor, right? Follow up with that. Those questions that you have, it's perfectly okay. Now, single family owners, you've just gotten your first rental house. You're in the operations stage, right? So what do? You operate. You run that thing. Now, does this take a lot of your time? We talk about passive income. No, it doesn't if you follow the right model. And one of the things we talk about quite a lot is best product, best price. Again, we're looking for property that is distressed. We're going to buy it and we're going to do the work. We're going to fix everything that is broken now or could break in the next few years. Well, one thing that does is push the value of that property up. That's where I get my equity capture, but it also makes this thing not exactly bulletproof, but boy, it runs a lot better. So if you're worried about maintenance, you're essentially pulling that maintenance forward to today by way of your renovation. So those calls at midnight for toilets that are clogged or whatever else, those don't really happen. If that's one of your fears, you can step away from that, because if you do follow that motto, best product, best price, fix everything now, it is fairly smooth sailing. So you're going to operate. This is part of your experience. This is part of your, let's say, ongoing education. By the way, do you stop learning at that point formally? No. I'm always going to events at Lifestyles Unlimited. I'm always learning new things about the market. What are trends? What's happening? What do I need to be watching out for? What other market might I consider, et cetera? So keep that education going. But now's the time to get that speed and that volume going with that snowball. Add to that snowball. This is the whole point. You know, the snowball will grow, and it can grow faster and faster. And here's one reason why. You can take the cash flow from that first investment and just divert it to your investment pool. Are you going out and having a party and just having a ton of fun with all that cash flow that's coming in from house number one? No. Put that aside into your investment pool, and that pool of investing funds will grow faster, meaning you can get into that next investment sooner and get even more cash flow coming in sooner. What does that do? That leads to an even quicker close on the next investment and more cash flow, and then a quicker move into the next one and more cash flow. You can see where that goes. Speed, the speed of that the turning of that ball, that snowball intensifies, and the volume gets bigger and bigger. Ergo, the cash flow grows and it grows and it grows again. That is the cash flow snowball. That's what I want you to think about, right? If you're completely new to this space, I want you to understand this is real. I've, again, been doing this for over a dozen years. I experienced this firsthand. We bought one house, then we bought another, then we bought a third. We ran out of capital, by the way. What happens then? We'll talk about that. In fact, let's talk about that now. You may find yourself in that place just like we did. Ah, we got to house number three. The cash flow is awesome. This is cool. It's really working. But we ran out of our fundamental capital outside of that cash flow. So you may actually need to look around and find more capital so that you can speed up. Oh, I'm going to have to bring up a taboo topic here, actually, too. The first of those concerns your 401k The second of those concerns that home equity in your personal house. And if you go out and you do start this process and you get to know other investors and you start to talk with them, you're going to learn. There are those that, boy, they seize the bull by the hand. They said, man, I got a lot of funds in my 401k. I'm just pulling that out now. I'm going to go invest. Or they did the same with the equity in their house. You got other people like me. I was a little more conservative. I was a little bit slower moving. I was a little hesitant to tap that 401k. I was a little bit hesitant to do a cash out refinance on my personal house. Isn't the paid off mortgage the goal? Maybe not. But I did do both. Not both at once, but I did find that as I wanted more investable capital, those were steps that I needed to take. Now you might be thinking, again, this is taboo. 401k, we don't touch that. Isn't that an investment? Well, it's not really. It's more speculation, right? It's speculating on the market appreciation of those underlying assets. What are those underlying assets? Do you even know? I don't know. It's some mutual fund that's invested in, I don't know what, growth funds, growth stocks. Yeah. Or maybe some other type of stock. You really don't know. And that's a big difference, by the way, between the 401k and my single family rental home portfolio is I do have control. So by tapping into that 401k, pulling those funds out, yes, I paid taxes on that. But I was able to reinvest and, man, just create money multiple ways like we talked about, but cash flow being the big one. And I took control. I gained control. And actually, you can take control two ways with respect to that 401k. You can absolutely just cash it out. We'll tell you that's the way to go. You know, yeah, you may have to pay that 10% penalty. Yes, there are ways if you're below 59.5 to circumvent that 10% penalty called a quadro, QDRO. Look that up. Show topic for another show. Or if you're still not sure and this is your first time to invest and you want that proof of concept, you can take a loan against that 401k. Did you know that? Yeah, you can typically pull out 50% of the value up to a maximum of $50,000. That is more than enough to get into that first single family house or get into one or two or maybe three passive investments in apartments. So get that proof of concept. Same for the house. You can do an outright cash out refinance. That's exactly what my wife and I did. Pulled out a significant amount of cash to get into our next number of investments. Or if that scares you, I don't want to do a cash out refinance. I like where my rate is. A lot of people are married to those 2 and 3% rates. I want you to get past that if you can. But if you can't, well, you can do what's called a HELOC. That's a home equity line of credit. Right, you open a line of credit, you haven't drawn anything down. Yes, that line itself, when you draw it down, will be at a higher interest rate, and there is a time by which you have to pay that back. But that might be the option for you that's wanting to maybe tiptoe in. So do a loan against your 401k, do a HELOC, home equity line of credit on that personal house. Draw that down. When you do see that investment opportunity that really piques your curiosity, I think this is the one, I want to go test that out. And you'll see that cash flow begets cash flow. And you get that proof of concept confirmed. It does work. This thing is happening. Then you move into stage two. And you have to take that snowball, and you can't just sit on one snowball. One house, one single family house that's cash flowing, what, $200 to maybe $600 per month is not going to get you to where you want to be, which is retirement, which is, you know, less tied, less tethered to that job. So you've got to speed that thing up. And that's what happens in stage two. And that just means investing in more houses. You continue to operate that one, and you take that cash flow, you put it into your investment pool, and you buy more. But you will find, just like I did, that at some point you're gonna run up against capital limitations, and you have to look to other places to pull out capital to keep that thing growing. You have to continue to keep that growing. And then you're going to eventually get to the point where this, all right, I get it. I've got experience. I've got 3 or 4 single family houses under my belt. Maybe it's 10. Maybe you're in 10 multifamily investments as a passive investor. It doesn't matter. You're going to see that there comes an opportunity where you can really move into warp speed, right? Some of you may say, well, I'm just going to coast for a while. These two things tend to happen at stage three. And you have to remember here, you have to go back to something we talked about well before. You have to remember that we make money 5 ways on our houses. And 6 on our apartments. Now, cash flow, that's the whole point. That's the whole point of discussing the cash flow snowball. But there's a lot of equity plays that we talked about. How can the sundry equity plays actually work into accelerating your cash flow snowball? That equity's sitting in that rental house that you bought. Maybe you're on year five and you still have that very first house that you bought as proof of concept. You had some equity capture. Maybe it was $30K, $40K, $60K back then, and you've been watching as the residents have been paying down the mortgage for you every month, and that equity builds up. It might just be $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 per year. Depends on your note. And markets, right? Markets have started to go up again, and you see some appreciation on that side. You're like, ooh, I'm sitting on $100,000 of dead equity. Well, guess what? It's time to tap that equity. This is how you move into warp speed. You tap into that equity that you've built up in that single family house, or maybe you have multiple, right? You can tap into all of those at once. And there are really two ways that you get to that equity. Number one, you sell that asset. Number two, you do a cash out refinance, just like we talked about with respect to your personal residence. Now, your choice of investment modalities, and we talked that there are really two within the residential rental space. It's either you're either investing in single family houses, or again, I'm focused on the passive investor in apartments. You're investing in multifamily. You can invest actively, of course, as well. But for today's show, I just want to focus on that passive investor. Whether you went single family or apartments, you can do both, by the way. But if you went one or the other, that plays into the conversation here as well. And we talked about this investing passively in apartments. Well, you're a passive investor. You do not control the reins. You have to wait for that lead investor to achieve their business plan, or even better, exceed the business plan. And generally at that point, there'll be a vote. Now, your ability to vote depends on what's written into the operating agreement for that particular investment. So you have to learn, this goes back to education, to read those closely. Do we vote for a refinance? Do we vote for a sale? But generally you're going to vote. Yeah, we all agreed. Let's refinance. We love this asset. We're going to hold it. Let's do that cash out refinance. Or everybody's ready to sell and move on. Now it's up to the lead to get that to the vote, to decide when it's time. So you do not really have control of the timeline here. Now, you know going in what the business plan is, but we all know things change, things move. There are exogenous events out there in the world that make us have to wait a little longer because interest rates have gone up, or vice versa. Everybody's buying multifamily, so now is the time to sell. There are different drivers that will play into that movement of the business plan, but ultimately, no control. Now, And remember, I invest passively in apartments. I have experienced this over the years. I'm ready to get that cash out, but I don't have that choice. But I also invest in single-family rental houses, and I have the control. So if you've invested in a portfolio of houses, 1, 2, 10, doesn't matter, you have the control. So now ask yourself, what do you want to do? Sell or do a cash-out refinance? I've done both. I've chosen assets that I was ready to sell, and I've chosen assets that I wanted to hold on to a little bit longer. And I've done cash out refinance. There are various reasons why you might make one decision or the other, but I've done both. And yes, I've even done that cash out refinance in a higher interest rate environment. I went from a lower mortgage rate to a higher one. Why would I do that? Because I had so much equity trapped in that house. I'm far better off to pull that out, take my cash flow from $600, let's say, down to $200, and deploy that into other assets that are going to bring in even more. So I get that multiplier effect, and it really exceeds really what my position prior to doing that cash out refinance. It just makes sense. I can redeploy and create even more cash flow. Now, going back to that notion, sell or do a cash out refinance. We talked briefly about the fact that, yes, apartments and houses both have tax advantages. This is where we need to think about taxes. Which do you do? Okay, let's think about this now. I love this house. I want to keep it for another few years. I want to do a cash out refinance. Do I pay taxes? No, you do not. This is not a taxable event. You are just resetting the debt load. Maybe when I bought it, let's say 5 years ago, the value when I fixed it up was $200, and I refinanced at 75% of that market value. So I took on a 30-year note at $150,000. Now I've been paying that down. My residents have been paying that down for me. It's decreased, but the market appreciation has occurred as well. Maybe that house is now worth $300,000. Well, if I do the same thing, refinance at 75% of $300,000, well, my mortgage balance, my actual note will increase. And typically with that, there may be a higher mortgage rate. And we are in a higher mortgage rate environment. So my payment will go up is the moral of the story there. So that can result in lower cash flow on that one asset. But you cannot lose sight of the bigger picture. We're pulling out so much equity, and we're going to be able to use that cash to invest in even more. So that's a cash out refinance. I do not want to do a cash out refinance that will push me into negative cash flow territory. That is something I will never do, nor should you. I want to be cash flow positive. My personal goal, 200 or more. Okay. Or maybe I just sell the property. And here I'm thinking again of single family rentals. I don't have that control with my passive investments in apartments. Now, back to taxes. If I sell the property, is this a taxable event? Maybe. It depends. You have a few options here. Option one, yeah, just pay the tax man. And this may depend on your personal expectations for future tax rates if you go this route. You may believe, there are a lot of people that do, that, hey, the United States, despite best efforts or no efforts, I don't know what's going on in Capitol Hill, just has a huge amount of debt. And if they're ever going to pay that off, they're going to have to collect more taxes. So if you believe that taxes are lower now, well, maybe this is the time to just go ahead and get out from under that and pay that house, pay those taxes on the sale of that house. Yeah, I said it. But understand, that's one of the tax advantages for us, the real estate investor, is we're not paying earned income tax rates when we hold it for a year and a day or longer. We're now in long-term capital gains rates, which are very, very low. So that's advantageous to us. But I don't want to pay the taxes. Okay, well, I have two options. Number one, of those second options, if I've been investing for a while and I do have investments in apartments as well, I've probably accrued, and I have, passive losses. Now, do I have actual losses? Oh, God, Andy, don't talk about losses. Well, no. With our apartments, typically, in particular, and this happens with the houses as well, there's something called depreciation, which is just a paper expense that I use to write off against that property. It represents the usage of that property over time. And with apartments in particular, I find that our lead investors like to accelerate that depreciation. They can bring a lot of the depreciation that would normally be spread over 27 and a half years. There are ways to do this, show, you know, topic for another show, but they can bring a lot of that depreciation into year one, and I can use that now. It's a loss on my tax statement that just rolls with me until I need to deploy it. When do I deploy it? I did this a couple years ago. Sold a house. Didn't do any sort of special thing, just use my losses to offset that gain, no taxes. So if you have passive losses, that's a way to go. But maybe you don't. Maybe you bought this 2 years ago and had a massive, massive amount of equity capture. No passive, real passive losses to use against that. You can do a 1031 exchange. This is in the tax code, and it is an advantage for real estate investors. And what that allows you to do is sell that property, take those gains, and roll those into like-kind property. Right, roll into the next investment. Ah, but wait. Here's where you can achieve warp speed. Because when you sell that property, whether it's paying the taxes or doing the 1031 exchange, you'll have more money to deploy, by the way, with that 1031. You're not just buying, you're not just rolling into one more investment property. You're not going from one to another. You can take down multiple, or you can go bigger and go from single family into apartments. So if I can sell one house and buy three, or buy five, or buy a 10-unit apartment community, or a 20-unit, you can see where that snowball is no longer just speeding up. Man, it has achieved warp speed. It is moving fast. That's where you want to get to. That's stage three. Now, some people get here, and they've got all the cash flow they need, and they start coasting. Well, that's okay. It's okay to take a break. Just be careful. Watch complacency. It's very easy to slide into that complacent space and just do nothing more. And at some point, you may find yourself, hey, man, I've lost, forgot what's going on in the market. I don't even know what's happening anymore. I've just been sitting on this cash flow. Complacency can, it's dangerous, okay? So keep investing. Cash flow begets cash flow. Add more cash flow. That snowball grows. It speeds up. It turns faster, man. And you'll be there before you know it. I thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.